You know, every time that rejoiner plays about he's seen it all, we always get a call the next segment with, huh, I've never seen that before. Well, we're going to have to call you back on that after we do some research.
Well, here's one we have seen before. Let's bring Caroline into the conversation, calling from Tempe. Good morning, Caroline.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you.
Good, good. How can we help you this morning?
Well, I wanted to inquire about filling in a sunken living room.
Okay.
And who would you get to do that? I understand you could fill it in with cement, or you could put in a platform, a plywood platform, whatever, but I wouldn't be too interested in toxic wood.
Okay.
in that area. So I just thought maybe you could give me some general comments about that problem.
Well, you can go in there with some floor joists and some plywood and do that. But we don't like that because it's putting wood in below grade. It can create a condition very conducive for termite infestation. So anytime we're filling a sunken living room, we're going to go ahead and scarify the concrete. We're going to make sure there are no evidences of any termites anywhere ever. If there is, we're going to termite pretreat that sunken slab first. Then we're going to bring in the ABC, depending on how far we've got to fill in. And then we're actually, Caroline, going to pour concrete in there. And we have a very special mix we pour in that situation. It's a high compressive strength, about 4,000 PSI. We like to use pea gravel as opposed to the standard aggregate. And it makes for a nice permanent job. And then you have to have some special considerations. What do you want to do with the finished floor covering in the area when you're done?
Well, I would just like to, whatever I select, that it be the same all over the floor, the adjacent floor and the sunken area that's filled in.
Same
thing, you know.
Okay, very good. So then at that point, it's completely invisible, and you'll never be able to pick up the fact that, you know, it was sunken ever. There's some considerations you have to do along the outside wall. But all of that is done by any one of the experienced. And I'll tell you, out in the East Valley, we have a Rosie certified contractor by the name of Brad Christensen, BC Renovations. I talked to Brad recently, and he's been very busy. If Brad's too busy, just give Rosie on the house a call, and we'll make time and get out there and take care of you. We actually have a little hole in our schedule here over the next 4 to 6 weeks where we're waiting for a couple other jobs
permits
to get ready.
Permits and plans
Yeah.
Decisions and Stan loves hand trucking concrete wheelbarrows into the living rooms to fill in sunken living rooms. He loves that.
Well,
I mean, he gets up every day and comes into work thinking, man, I wish I had some more concrete to wheelbarrow around.
Let's bring Lisa Reeves back into the conversation. She's from Ageless Design down in Tucson. Lisa, you filled in some sunken living rooms in your day?
I did. And Romy, you're pretty ornery.
I just like teasing Stan because more than likely it's they're going to end up sending me out on the job.
Well, when my crew does that kind of work, we hand truck the concrete in. When I'm there doing that truck, I take the front window out and we just back the truck up and we just pour it in. Lisa, how do you do it?
We actually hand trucked it in because of the landscaping.
Yeah.
So we really didn't have a choice to back up a truck.
Yeah.
But we had, I have a client, she's young, late 40s. She has a debilitative disease, and she had sunken bedroom and sunken living room, and she had to fill it in. She was falling a lot. She ended up in the hospital a few times, and it's a disease that will get worse for her. And so we had to do that just to keep her safe. That's a trend. I think it was a 70s trend and a little into the 80s. And I've been filling in a lot of tubs, those big sunken tubs.
Oh, yeah.
So I just finished doing that at another project.
There's special considerations for those kind of below-grade infills that you have to take care of. I mean, those areas are prone to termite infestation in the first place.
Right.
So you got to double, triple check that they've never been there. And we always err on the side of caution there. And a lot of times we'll just retreat it again no matter what we find.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, before we fill it in. Lisa, any other tips for our homeowners here?
lighting, I think, is a big deal. Whether we like to admit it or not, we need 10 times more lighting when we're older than when we're younger.
Is that multiplier 10 times, is that something that's scientific, or is that just your...
No, that actually is scientific, but I really can't tell you where I got that from. It was some paper that I read that was done by a university.
I'm always hungry for more light.
Well, and I can't see in lots of restaurants anymore unless I'm going to bring a little flashlight. Thank goodness you have a little flashlight in your phone these days.
Yeah, I was so glad when Jennifer showed me how to use that.
But there's a real easy way with LED. You know, the evolution of LED, it is so easy to retrofit your lights. And you know, you can get 3,000, 4,000 Kelvin. That's the color of light. Like 2,700 is the color of the light we're used to, the light bulbs we're used to in the house. That's an incandescent light bulb. And so they're more yellow, but you can get whiter light, which is brighter light. Some people aren't used to that. But with LED, now everything's retrofittable, and it'll bring the cost of your electric bill down because it doesn't heat up your kitchen or wherever you're putting them. And it'll reduce your air conditioning bill because then the space isn't so so difficult to cool. So I think they cost more going in, but you probably never in your lifetime have to replace them. Have you been using those at all?
We do. As a matter of fact, I was out at a friend's studio just yesterday, Tony Sutton of S2S Design, mm-hmm. and he was showing me in his showroom where he's got the ribbon LEDs, and depending on the color of the backsplash, you can actually change the color of the light. The bulb and the light is all the same color. But he gets this changing effect just by what he puts in the background. It's very dramatic.
Mm-hmm. It's really fun. Those are kind of little add-ons that you can do.
Yeah, those are great. They really are. And it's the old adage, Lisa, you've been doing it as long as I have been almost. And I mean, when the halogen bulbs came out, I love the light.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we actually had some, not us, it wasn't any jobs we did, but there were actually home fires started. The
right.
halogen gets so hot. And you turn those things on, and you're basically starting a couple candles inside your house in the middle of the summer when you're trying to air condition.
And in Arizona, we do not need any extra heat in our home.
Don't need an extra heat source, that's for sure.
But I just think LED is a win-win, and they're just coming up with so many new ways. They're getting better. The color's getting better. So if you love your incandescent lighting, you love that yellow lighting that we're all used to. You know, we don't like change very much, so... if you're used to that, sometimes you don't like the brighter white lights, but you can now get LED lighting in the colors you're used to.
10 times the light.
10 times.
10 times the light. That's interesting. Well, Miss Lisa, we appreciate it again. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Well, you're welcome. I really enjoyed it, and thanks for having me.
All right, dear. It's absolutely our pleasure. With that, Romy, let's get back to the lines. We've got other callers lining up here. We do have an open line if you'd like to jump in and talk. 1-888-767-4348. George has a question that I think we ought to get on air so it can be kind of a note of caution for everyone. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Rizzy.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing terrific, but
great.
I have a question about a Corian shower.
Aha.
I have a home with a lot of grab bars in it, but when the handyman who was putting in the grab bars got to the shower and learned that the walls were Corian, he refused to drill a hole.
Uh-huh.
Is there any... I've tried the suction grab bars, and they don't... So I was wondering if you might have a suggestion.
You know, I'd like to hear from some of the Arizona Rosie on the House listeners that have experience with those suction grab bars. We were actually sent a couple to demo, and I was impressed with the grabbing ability of them, but I just, in my head, never got confident enough to really put them to the test. So I'd be curious what other people's experience is with them. George, you can drill Corian. You need a ceramic tile bit. It's very easily to drill. All we would need to do is actually find the studs, because the thing about balance bars, the thing about grab bars, is they're only as good as what they're mounted to, and you cannot just simply use easy screw mount or a wing nut mount and expect these to hold very well. When we're putting in showers, one of the things we do now is we almost line the entire shower with plywood prior to starting the blue board and the actual mud set for the ceramic tile, so that whenever you would want to anchor something, you've got a good solid bite and back in there. But George, we would just use a stud locator and locate the studs behind the corion, drill the corion, and mount the bar appropriately, just in the position that the stud, it may not be exactly in the place you want it, because that's not what the carpenter was thinking about when he was framing out and laying out that wall. But if it's not exactly where you want it, then rather than run it perfectly vertical, many times we'll stagger it between two studs. It's 16 inches on center and start high and go low, and it's at an angle. We do that all the time. So the tip and the trick is going to be a drill bit that's made for drilling. I generally use ceramic tile drill bits when I'm trying to drill through corion, and it cuts it just like butter.
I never really adapted it.
But you got to find the studs.
For corion?
Don't start just drilling the holes randomly.
And will a stud finder go through corion, or do you go up to the drywall on top, find the stud, and do a plumb line straight down?
You do whatever you got to do. I have had them. And that new one that you got, I'd be curious if that stud finder, we ought to take it into the hall bathroom and see if it'll find it through the showers.
Franklin sensors. I wasn't going to mention it because I couldn't think of the name off the top of my head. You put me on the spot, and right there, Franklin sensors. You can only
another get it. One of those things that were sent and said, "Hey, try this. We've new and improved. See if you like it. You guys really like it."
There's
right?
only six retailers in the whole state that sell this shit.
Wow,
and
that sell this yet?
Yeah.
It almost sounded like something else.
Sell this Yeti.
That sell this yet.
That currently sell the product, I'm sure it'll get picked up as the popularity grows, because it's incredible. But with corion, I never developed a taste for the style, the look.
Yeah.
But
a little too contemporary for you, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that it's a solid color all the way through.
Yeah.
So you sand just the very top portion. I mean, it'll take you 100 years to sand all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the product lasts forever.
Yeah, you buff it out.
You can scratch it, scar it, stab it, burn it. Just sand a little off because it's color consistent all the way through. So you're talking a low-maintenance, long-term product. That's hard to beat.
Very easy to maintain. A lot easier than grout joints in a tile or a stone situation. So it was popular, baby. We put in acres and acres of that stuff through the 90s, that's for sure. Folks, we're going to go on a quick break. Be back for our last segment here at Rosie on the House. An open line if you'd like to jump in. 1-888-767-4348.